Welcome to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com. You'll notice I'm bringing us in. Phil, the man, the legend, the myth. I'm just saying that because Ken's not here today. Sorry we weren't here last week. I was under the weather. Ken was under the weather. And Warren was the only one healthy. And everybody knows that this show is hard to do by yourself. I've done some segments by myself. I even did a show one time by myself.
And you're doing it by yourself today, too.
I see that. Warren's just like, I'm not even going to talk. So it's a difficult show, and we didn't want to put Warren on the spot, and it's, you know, it's a lot.
Well, I don't know how to run the board either.
Well, yeah, right, and that's something we're actually going to start teaching you, I believe. So we have a lot to talk about. We're not going to do what we've been doing the last couple weeks. We're not really going to talk. I should take the music out. We're not going to talk so much about other things. We're going to kind of just stay motorcycle related today. We have a ton of motorcycle stuff. I want to talk about, since the last time we were on the air, we've had two flat track races. I want to talk about both those. And there's some other things about flat track I want to talk about. We have a lot to talk about in Supercross. We got to talk about Détroit and what happened in Détroit and then Saint-Louis.
Look at you speaking all Frenchy.
I am totally in the French mood today. That's because of the
chicken. Just keep your tongue in your mouth.
Then we had MotoGP kickoff in Qatar, and we can't not talk about the first round of MotoGP.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
It was
tires.
And tires seemed to be the theme of the weekend in Aragon, in my opinion, too. So there was and they were in World Superbike. So we have a lot of racing to talk about. The whole show is probably just going to be racing. We got a couple little things we want to touch on before we get into racing. One thing I would like to do is thank Warren. 2 weeks ago, for what? For being you, for being sexy.
Oh,
for
baby.
For wearing that tank top today here in the studio.
Yo, baby. Hey, baby.
Woo! No, Warren actually helped me unpack a truckload of stuff that I was moving down for my folks and stuff. I'm moving my folks down here to Virginia, and it was very helpful. Warren was one of the guys
that came
over. They're
fleeing the People's Republic of New York.
They are fleeing. You are absolutely right.
They are American refugees.
Here in America. I wanted to thank you for that. That was cool of you driving all that way out of your way to help. Even when you had company, it was like, yeah, there's people at my house. I had to get the hell out of there. allegedly.
No.
He didn't really say that.
I got up early before anybody else in the house was awake and was back a little bit after lunch, so... They didn't even notice I was gone.
Yeah, probably not. They were still drinking their wine and hanging over mimosas. He got back in time for mimosas was the text I got. So, and then of course, one of the people that came out to help unload the truck was my niece, who ended up with a stomach virus, who ended up passing that around my family. So my house isn't big enough
for
there to be viruses.
So you was praying to the porcelain god, were you?
Last Tuesday, I haven't puked that many times since the last time I drank tequila while sitting on top of a cigarette machine in a dive bar. Right?
I mean, in Juarez.
No, it was actually in Hampton Bays, New York. But that's a different story.
Well, the Juarez would have been a much better story.
Yeah, no, the Hampton Bays one, you know, except for I'd be worried that the people involved would listen, is actually a pretty good story. So I just wanted to thank you for that. Warren, you had something you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I just want to bring it. We talked about this guy maybe 18 months ago. So somewhere in Texas, if you guys remember, these two sport bikes are behind a car, and one of them with a passenger started to pass it, and the guy swerved into him, hit him, and, you know, luckily didn't kill them, but he messed them up pretty good. Well, he got out of the car. The guy with the camera on his helmet ran up to him and said, "What the heck were you doing? You could have killed him." And the guy kept saying, "I don't care. I don't care." Well, he had his day in court and got sentenced to 15 years in prison.
He deserves it. You know, when you first started bringing it up, I didn't remember that. But then I remember that guy, and he deserves every bit of that 15 years.
Well, you know, he's not going to do 15. But, you know, he tried to blame he got bit by a bug, and that's why he had to swerve the car.
You know, every time I get bit by a bug, I hit somebody in traffic.
Yeah. So he got 15 years. So let's say he gets 7 years for, you know, good behavior, so he doesn't get in trouble.
Well, you know, let's just leak out to some people with some interesting patches on their vests that this guy did that, and we'll see how pleasurable 7 years that is.
So he's got eight. So he gets 7 years off for good behavior. It gives him 8 years in jail. Then he gets time served, which he's been in jail from the day it happened, the day he got arrested. So that's 18 months. So best he's going to do is 6.5. But that's okay, you know, because he's 69. Yeah, 69 years old. So, you know, fingers crossed, you know, he might not serve out his term, but that's bad. I should not say that. I shouldn't say that. Let's put it this way. He probably will survive his term because with all the good health care that prisoners get nowadays, you know, the fact that he can go to the gym every day, that he can watch Dr. Phil and rehabilitate himself through television
every
day.
Soap on a rope. I mean, prison's changed a lot since you were in Warren. Hey, I want to give a shout out. We all know I'm a big J.D. Beach fan, right?
Yes.
You know, I'm a Jiggy Dog fan. I will not lie. And Jiggy Dog is right now live on Facebook as I'm doing the show, which is totally distracting me. But Jiggy Dog is driving, right? I mean, there's a reason we call him J.D. Beach, because he's driving a John Deere. Right? He's on a, it looks like maybe a 2300 series tractor or so. He's driving a bucket loader John Deere around
his
yard.
That's a little bit bigger than yours.
Yeah, and he's like, and he has like testing. I don't know what he's testing, but... It doesn't. Well, I guess maybe he's going fast, but I'm glad to see Jiggy Dog is a John Deere guy like me.
Well, you should
green and yellow, son.
You better put something up there that the doghouse celebrates Jiggy Dog's efforts.
I just said that, and you know, I think that he should use this video, Jiggy Dog, because I know you'll probably listen now that I put that up there. Use this video and be like, John Deere, look at the promotion I just got you. You should sponsor the Jiggy Dog.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, John Deere would be a great sponsor for him.
Might have to repaint the bike, but I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay with a green and yellow bike going. I would have a Jiggy Dog John Deere
jersey,
right? I mean, there's not a, especially, you know how they do like the printed race shirts with the buttons and stuff like that? If they made them in my size, you know, like a man's size, you know, like 3 to 4X, I would totally have one. That would be badass.
I'd get one, too. That
John Deere Racing,
good.
Jiggy Dog presents.
Put that in
John
the Facebook, too, that Jiggy Dog needs to come out with a John Deere line of clothing.
Yeah, well, he needs to come out. John Deere needs to sponsor him, right? That's what really needs to happen. So I just figured I'd mention that. You know, why don't we pop out, and we'll come back. When we come back, we're going to talk. When we come back, we're going to talk some flat track. We have some sad news in flat track, so... We are going to talk some serious flat track, and then we're going to talk about what's going on in the flat track series and what I love and what we hate and what we think. I was just telling Warren how I invented a new sign language saying. Everybody knows what the hand signal for the shocker is. And I said, I was talking about the shooting at Virginia Motorsports Park, which used to be where the All-Hardly Drag Racing Association was.
Right.
They had a rap concert there, and there was a couple shootings. And I was like, no. And then I would hold up my hand like the shocker to me. That's new. That's new fail sign language. If you don't know what the shocker is, means you're probably better off in life.
Right. Yeah, well, that's also kind of specific to Dane Cook, comedian.
Oh, I don't know about that. I knew about the shocker long before Dane Cook.
He made it popular.
Maybe where you're from, right? Where I'm from, we did the minivan, you know? you can Google that and look that up. Anyways, we're back. We want to talk a lot about flat track, American flat track. But we're going to start with some sad news. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Jameson Minor. He's a singles rider. He's 21 years old, and he was in a bad crash on the first lap of the singles finals race at Charlotte this past weekend. They took him to one of the medical centers in Charlotte, and Charlotte has a lot of good medical centers.
Yes, they do.
And there's one real close to the track. I think that's University of Charlotte or Charlotte, North Carolina State, something like that.
Something
right?
like that.
And he succumbed to his injuries. So thoughts and prayers. There was a lot of talk about, from a bunch of different riders talking about him. He hasn't been on the series that long, but long enough to get known and be well-liked. An up-and-comer, right? He was getting better each
racing
week.
Is a dangerous sport, no matter whether it's on two wheels, four wheels, or more wheels.
You know, and the sad thing is this is the third flat tracker in less than 6 months.
Yes. But this one you can't really attribute to the track conditions.
Right,
it was straight up racing.
Yeah, that was a straight up racing and a crash. That is one thing that I'd like to say. A couple of the other two were both at the same track where everybody was complaining about the track conditions and stuff. But this was at Charlotte where the dirt track's there year round. They maintain it. They have a lot of series come in there. It's a well used track, and I don't feel like the track contributed to that crash.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was just racing, and like you said, it's a dangerous sport. So we want to give our thoughts and prayers out to this family and friends. Then we get to the singles, and I want to talk. Normally we go what series,
the most current one,
the most current one and stuff, but I want to talk about the last two singles races, which were Atlanta, which I really liked. Atlanta, that 3/8 of a mile track was quick and a lot of sliding.
It definitely was fun to watch.
It was entertaining, and Charlotte only being a 1/2 mile was entertaining too. I thought they were both very entertaining, and Dalton Gauthier is opening a can of whoop ass on the singles field.
Yes, he is.
He is.
He won Daytona.
He won Daytona, the TT.
And then he won Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And we're not going to talk about Charlotte yet.
Well, we can, because he won Charlotte.
Because he won Charlotte.
Right? It's this, you know, second verse, same as the first kind of thing there. He's on that Yamaha YZ450F three in a row, which in singles, you don't really see that often. Right,
I take your word for it, because this is the first year I've really started following.
Yeah, they used to be GNC2, and before that, yeah, I mean, they've had tons of names for it, right? But you don't see three in a row cranked out often, especially by a young guy. You know, I was glad to see Ferran Cardos is still racing. You know, he's still over here racing and stuff. You know, we talked about after Daytona we were going to be Ferran Cardos fans and stuff. So I was glad to see who's still out there. And one thing that I really liked seeing at Charlotte was...
Well, before you go to the Charlotte on the singles, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to, you know, even though, you know, Shayna Texter finished third.
Yeah.
That
was at Charlotte though, right?
No, that was at Atlanta.
Oh, that was Atlanta? Okay. Yeah. I think she finished third at Charlotte too, right?
Finished third in both those races.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly what I was going to mention, that, you know, she's actually the only woman to win a pro flat track race, right? And I'm glad to see her. She had a couple rough years. I remember talking to her 2 years ago at Hagerstown, and she was having problems with the bike, right? She's a little person. You know, not like a midget, but she's a small person. Did I screw that up?
Yes, she did.
All right.
But anyway, moving right along.
But she's tiny, right? And there's not a lot of her to
throw
a
vertically challenged.
Well, but not so much vertically challenged. It's just she's not bulky, right? She doesn't have that look like, you know what? A guy can be skinny but have that wiry look like he's big and muscular. Right,
you're just digging yourself a hole.
No, and
I'm letting you dig it too.
I know.
It's fun as heck.
But she's petite.
Shannon, if you want to come in here and kick his butt, I would put it on Facebook Live and we could make some money, I'm sure.
Yeah, she probably could. So I'm always impressed to see her lug that bike around and lay into the turns, because I can't do it, right? I'm not going to lie. I can't do it, especially nowhere near as good as anybody on that tour, right? And her being so much smaller makes it even more impressive to me. And that she's back on a bike that she's doing good. She's on the Honda.
Very competitive.
She's very competitive. And I think the way she's running now, we might see a win from her this year again.
It's possible.
Which I would love to see, which would be huge for Flatjack.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Now, but, you know, I also like there was a comment that Dalton Gauthier, is that how you pronounce it? I've Gauthier. Heard it a couple different ways. Yeah, he had one comment after the race that I thought was pretty good. He said, "I'm so dominant because my dad's got the bike working so good."
Yeah, well, you know, that's the best part about singles is it's a lot of family sponsored.
He didn't say mechanic sponsored by, you know, Shasta. Yep. He said, "My dad's got it going."
Dad got it. It's like the guy at Daytona who thanked his grandma when they
awesome,
sponsors.
Awesome.
I just love that. It's a bunch of young guys. Warren, when they're in Williams Grove, we should go up.
We should.
We should go up. I'll start putting that together. But I'm glad to see she's doing well. The Kawasaki, I mean, the top three at Charlotte were a Yamaha, a Kawasaki, and a Honda, right? I'm glad to see all three brands doing well there.
But you got to admit, though, it's not has to do with the brands on the singles, whose dad's the best mechanic.
Yeah, it's whose dad knows the most about bikes. You know, but and riding and practice time, it's tough, and I can't imagine. But I think the singles is turning into being a gem of a class.
It's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. Then we get to the twins. And Indian made, I mean, how else do we say this? When you talk about Atlanta and you talk about Charlotte, and you talk, and you throw in Daytona the first round, Indian made the right choices.
Well, right? Like Jeremy, I said it before the season even started, even if the bikes were 100% equal, Indians are going to win because they got out first and got the best riders.
They got the best three guys going.
Although Sammy Hulbert has been doing pretty good.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, he got Rossied in Charlotte.
He did get, it wasn't Charlotte. He got Rossied in Atlanta.
One. He was going to win at first place in the finals, and he got Rossied.
Yeah, in Atlanta, Indians swept. Meese, Baker, then Smith, right? They swept. They looked dominant all day. They were fast. That little track, and he said, okay. And that was good for Baker because he had a miserable Daytona. He didn't even make the finals in Daytona, right? So that was good. And then we get to Charlotte, and we finally have Harley getting their first podium. Smith won. Meese, so they swapped. Meese had won the first two. Now Smith had won one, and they swapped. So Smith first, Meese second, and then Halbert gets Harley's first podium, which is a moral victory for Harley, I think.
It is, but it's also not on the new bike.
Yeah.
It's on the XR, not the XG.
It's also not on the factory Harley
team. Right, it's on a privateer.
Halbert is a privateer team. And that's like, oh, man. I mean, I'm looking down.
Well, and then Harley also got a fourth place.
Yes.
With another XR 750, right, not XG.
Right. The factory Harley, the XG 750R, doesn't seem to be clicking. They had...
Does Kenny Coolbreath...
Jake John... They interviewed,
wait a minute, how do you say his last name?
Coolbreeze Coolbreath, that's how I say it.
He finished sixth. He was the top Harley factory team finisher, and he finished sixth.
Yeah, at Charlotte. And they had, I believe it was Jake Johnson on. I don't think it was Kenny Coolbreath. And they had Jake Johnson on, and he's like, well, you know, the bike's not there yet. That, to me, is troubling if you're Harley. Right?
Yeah, especially since they introduced the bike, you know, like October, November.
Well, what's more than what's troubling to that is that it's your series. You're getting spanked.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a lot of attention. Believe it or not, I think Harley and the Hendersons, as Warren likes to call it, Harley and the Davidsons.
I did that one time.
I know, but it was
never going to go away.
It was great. I almost said effing great. I was so close. I had to bite my tongue. Harley and the Hendersons, I think, brought more attention back to flat track. I hear people talking about flat track.
Now, you guys, you and Ken both poo-pooed that when it came out, and I said, this is going to help racing, motorcycle racing. And you guys both said, no, this is just a stupid mockumentary. And
you know, and I'm wrong. I'll admit, I was wrong.
Ken, were you wrong?
Yes, Warren, I was wrong. Ken, how come you sound like a broad? Well, because Warren, I am. Sorry. That was so wrong. I'll probably get hate mail over the broad comment and nothing else out of that.
Yeah, Phil at NTN.
Phil at NTNradio.com/suckit. But you're right. It's done a lot. It's brought a lot of attention. FansChoice.tv, which is where the flat track races are being streamed live, right? If you're missing this action, if you're listening and you're in foreign countries like California, England, Australia, Oregon, right? And you're like, wow, I want to be cool, right? You know, I want to be cool. You can watch it at FansChoice.tv. It's on the interwebs.
Or on Facebook Live.
Or Facebook Live. They're putting it up on American Flat Track on Facebook Live. And for the first time ever, I would say first time ever, I don't ever remember doing, they published the numbers from Daytona, and they've been publishing the numbers of people watching on Fans Choice and the attendance at the races in their press releases, right? Daytona, they had 35,000 people tune in to watch, plus what they had on Facebook Live. And they had...
Which was about 9. I think the most I saw was a little bit more than 9,000, but that's still a bunch.
That's still 44,000 people.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's killer.
And that was primarily because at Daytona anyway, Fans Choice was struggling with the bandwidth.
Yeah.
And it's probably because they weren't anticipating the demand. Now, I didn't see it in Atlanta to see if Fans Choice was doing any better.
I watched Atlanta and Charlotte on Fans Choice, 28,000 and I think 21,000.
So I didn't see any lagging too much.
I didn't have any lagging problems, right? I will be honest, it did chew out during the last 5 laps of Charlotte.
I think that's why so many people were watching it on Facebook.
Yeah, and I by the time I switched over to Facebook, it was already over. I was like, damn it! Because I had a lot going on. I had Supercross and Flat Track going on two at once at the same time. You know, it was like a good threesome, right? Me, Flat Track, Supercross. But
I could say so much about that right now.
But the numbers have been phenomenal.
Yeah, I would like to see him compared to last year, just to have a...
You know, I don't ever remember watching a flat track race with more than like 8,000 viewers, and that was like Lima and Springfield Mile, which has been one of their premier events,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't ever remember seeing anywhere near these kind of numbers.
But these numbers are only going to hold up if Harley gets their crapping straightened out.
Right now, it's Indian versus Harley.
No one
showdown.
Wants to see the same 3 guys sweep it week after week. Now, it'll be fun until mid-season, but after that, no one's going to watch it.
Right. Harley's got to get in there and start being competitive.
Or Kawasaki or somebody. Somebody else has got to get in there. I would prefer Harley, of course.
Yeah.
But if somebody else is not in the mix, if no one else is in the mix, we're not going to sustain the numbers.
Right, because you got a bunch of Harley guys waiting for Harley to get that first win.
Yeah. And right? Even though they're coming close, it's not with the new Harley. It's with the old Harley.
Yeah, but a Harley win's a Harley win, right?
Yes.
I think
most
that's
people
gonna
won't
be,
care.
I think most people are not going to care. But that's a big...
And Sammy has come the closest so far till he got Rossied.
Yeah, and he came close again, right? So I'm glad to see... I'm glad to see the numbers huge on it. It's a lesson for Moto America. Factory sponsorship brings viewers.
Yes. Right?
It brings rivalries. NASCAR is falling apart right now, and I truly say that's because they don't have brand rivalries anymore.
No, they eliminated that.
Right. Team rivalries are not as deep and hateful
as Ford versus Chevy.
Right, Ford versus Chevy.
Or Chevy and Ford versus Toyota.
Right. America versus Japan is more than Hendrick versus whatever. And Indian versus Harley has also forced Kawasaki and Yamaha to say, hey, boys, we're here. Right? They were showing that. Right? Mm-hmm. They struggled a little on the TT. They showed it better. But they're showing that we're here. Right? So, I can see Kawasaki, especially if these numbers keep up.
Putting more money into it.
Kawasaki and Yamaha both putting more money into flat track next year.
If the numbers hold up. But I only think the numbers are going to hold up if there's some competition.
Yeah, they need to get some Harleys up there winning races. It can even be the old one. It doesn't have to be the
old one. Yeah, I would prefer a Harley, but if they can get anyone up there, that'll be the thing.
Yeah, they got to get some of these other brands up there. Although Indian came out to say they wanted to kick ass.
Yeah,
they're doing it.
Yes,
right?
They are.
They are not joking around with this. So that's. I think that kind of covers our thoughts and opinions on flat track. I should turn the volume up on the music when I play it to go out to break. It actually
works better that way.
Works a lot better. Our next race isn't till May, which sucks. So it's like almost 6 weeks away. It'll be the Law Tigers Arizona Mile, presented by Indian Motorcycle in Phoenix, Arizona.
Wait. Why is it presented by Indian? I thought Harley got that naming rights.
Harley has the series naming rights. Indian
got
sponsored
the local.
The Atlanta short track presented by Indian. Harley sponsored the Harley Charlotte Half Mile. It looks like they're going to kind of go back and forth throughout the year. I would like to see Kawasaki or Yamaha get in on that just to throw caution to the wind. We'll be back. We're back here on the Doghouse on NTN. Oh, hiccup. On
what
NTN
was
Radio.
That?
It was a hiccup mid-sentence. I didn't even know I had the hiccup. So just now, I'm going to hold my breath for a second.
Just come out of nowhere, huh? Keep holding it. Starting to tremble.
That's all I got, right?
Well, you only have half
a
line.
I was shocked I made it that far. we're going to talk some Supercross. And a lot has changed in the world of Supercross in only a few short months. In
several different ways.
In many a way. But I guess we should talk. Why don't we do the same like what we did with flat track? We'll talk 250s, both Detroit and Saint Louis.
Look at him. He is so French.
I am on it today.
And I'm expecting any minute for him to pull out a white flag and start running from the studio.
Woo, run away. I really should just be expecting me to go, I'm clogging my nose at you. I wave my private parts at your auntie. If you don't know what that means, you should probably turn the show off. But I want to talk 250s, right? In Detroit, we saw a first-time winner in Jordan Smith.
Yeah, and he ran a really good race.
Really good race in Detroit 2 weeks ago. Smart race. He's been on the cusp of winning. Finally put it all together.
Yeah, he's had good finishes, enough to keep him in the points running. Now he's, after Detroit, he was, you know, 9 points behind.
Right. So he did it. Svachi came in second. Seeing Cirola, who I've been high on since he's been, you know, I've been big on Seeing Cirola since he's come in, but he's still struggling.
Yeah, and since Christian Craig has been struggling, and he did real well last year, and this year he's
struggling.
Yes,
he's definitely having his problems. But Jordan Smith got his first win, and then he followed it up with a second win at St. Louis. So he's made that points lead very small now, right? Savachi's lead over him, right? Isn't Savachi?
Yes.
Yeah, Savachi's lead over him right now is tiny. The East is going on break. They're going back west, but he tightened that up and he got hot. I wish he didn't get hot just as they were getting ready to end it, right? Because now they won't see them.
To cool off now,
right? We're not going to see them again till when they come back to Jersey, I believe, right?
Yeah, which is end of April or first part of May,
like 3 weeks from now, four weeks from now.
Yeah.
So they got a break. So I'm not happy about that.
Well, another guy who's doing real well is, you know, Zach Osborne.
Yeah,
he's been doing well in the 250, and it's relatively close. There's only 146 140 and 134 between the top three guys. Yeah. So, one wreck and you're, you know, the whole, the top three could flip out real quick.
Right. And they've had that all, they've had that all season, in the 250s. It's been kind of close. Although Savatgy had taken a lead, it wasn't like a huge,
he's 8 points over Jordan Smith after St. Louis.
6 points.
Oh yeah, 6 points.
But it has right there. Nobody broke away.
Now, as far as the racing goes, I don't remember. Since we're talking about both of them and it kind of runs together.
Yeah, no, I
think it was Detroit, where one of the 250 racers basically shot his bike off the track over the berm, and
yes,
I thought it was going to land on another racer going around the track.
Yeah. I can't remember who that was because that was a couple weeks ago. That was many hours of racing ago. But, you know,
it even made my wife go, holy crap.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those. Whoo, there's been some nasty falls. We're going to do it. Warren's got an injury report for us. We're going to do after we talk 450s.
Yeah.
And the controversy going on in the 450s. But, you know, that's good. I'm sad. I'm glad to see us going back to watching Justin Hill and Plessinger and McElrath fight in the West. But I was just starting to get really into the East with the 250 riders.
And
so.
Maybe it's the recency effect, but I was thinking that the 450 racing was better in the East than the West this year.
I always feel that.
No, last year it was definitely better in the West. There was no doubt about it.
I think, my personal opinion, I think the tracks in the East are a little bit better. Bigger, feel bigger when I watch them, right? Instead of baseball stadiums, they have football stadiums. So they got a little more length to them and stuff like that.
Oh, especially Daytona's Detroit, big, man. That was a good track in Detroit.
Right. Detroit was a good track. Daytona was a big track, right? St. Louis felt big. While it didn't look big, it felt big, mm-hmm. right? So I feel like the tracks here are better for 450s because they're bigger, right? In the West, the tracks are very tight and lots of turns, which I like. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like that. But in the East, you got just bigger, longer straightaways, harder runs.
More whoops, more dragging backs, that kind
right.
of stuff.
I mean,
but even beyond the tracks, which I can begrudgingly give you as a point of argument, I think this year the talent is in the East versus the West.
In the 250s?
In the last 2 years, that hasn't been the case. Because you had Cooper Webb, you had Marvin Musquin, all those guys in the West for the last couple of years.
You know.
And they were dominant. And then the people behind them were really good, too. So this year is the first out of the last three that I thought the East has the better talent.
You know, I would say I think Savatgy is the best 250s rider right now. Although Smith with the hot hand. It's probably not that.
They both look good. Well, if you look down.
But if you were to say to me, name my top five, right, when we used to do our top fives and stuff, I would say Savatgy, Hill, Plessinger, McElrath, Smith.
I think I would.
Or maybe Smith, McElrath.
Yeah, but I would definitely do that. But I would also throw Cease and Cirillo over.
And you have to, over McElrath? I don't know.
I think I would.
I think heads up, McElrath beats Osborne and Cianciarulo. And maybe Davalos might too. But I think Savatgy is the cream of the crop. Right. I think he's the best. So of the 250 guys. In the 450s, right? In January, we were talking about
how Ken Roczen can't be beat.
Ken Roczen can't be beat
because he's riding a 650 when everyone else is on a 450.
Ken Roczen has a epic crash. I mean, just epic. And we go, oh, season's over, Dungy wins. And Dungy said, oh, season over, Dungy wins. And he railed off some victories, and he did his Dungy where it was seconds and first and seconds and first and seconds and first. And then this guy, former Doghouse guest, Eli Tomac, decides the season ain't over.
He goes out and steals Roczen's 650, puts a green paint job on it.
Well, no, I don't know about that as much as I think he hypnotized Ryan Dungy. Ryan Dungey, who through his whole career has been like great off the starts, the last 6 or 7 weeks.
And there was an interesting conversation on the St. Louis event. Talked about his starts.
Yes.
He doesn't use any electronics for the starts.
Yeah, and he has been off, right? He used to be Mr. Top two guys coming out of the starts. How many times this year have we seen him in 10th place or 7th place after the start?
More than we have any other time.
More than we have his whole rest of his career combined. And he's been doing crappy in Detroit.
He's been out of the top 10 at the start a couple of times.
In Detroit, I think he came out of the start at like 13th.
Yeah, right?
I almost can do that. I said almost. Right? Almost can do that. So he's had some really crappy starts. But he's a hell of a racer, and he's fast. And in Detroit, he worked his way all the way back to third after that crappy start. Right, but he couldn't get by Musquin, and he couldn't get anywhere near Tomac.
Well, he had a hard time even catching Musquin.
You know,
what the hell are you doing over there?
I got something on the edge of my nose that is tickling it, and I feel like I'm going to sneeze. I'm trying to figure out what it is.
It's actually kind of very disturbing looking.
I'm sorry. And he caught. I think he caught Musquin not so bad. With 10 minutes to go in that race, I didn't think he was going to catch either of them.
Yeah, but he caught him with just a few minutes left.
He caught him with a few minutes left, and Tomac was just out to a lead. And Tomac, where a year ago, Tomac, I wouldn't say, could last the whole 20 minutes. Tomac's in shape this year.
Yes, he is.
And he's got his S together. He's got his stuff together. And if he gets out there in a lead.
He's mentally got it set, too.
And now he's got the hot hand.
What was the race before Detroit?
The race before Detroit was that Toronto? No.
Yes.
Yes.
And after that race, that's when I think I mentioned it then, Dungey made a couple comments after the race that seemed to me that he didn't have the...
Indianapolis was before Detroit.
Okay. That was where he said, I got the impression, he didn't really care.
Yeah, Dungey has seen...
After this last race, I think he cares again.
You know what? Okay, let's talk about this last race.
Before we do, I'm going to go back to Detroit just for one thing. That track was awesomely laid out.
Yes, that's a great track.
I love the way that was laid out, going up into the stands. Great whoops. The jumps were set up perfect.
Especially that one like straight up jump.
Yes.
The wall jump.
There was a few guys that, you know, my wife and I looked at each other in some of the prelims and looked like guys were launching rockets off of that ramp.
Yeah,
and how's he going to land?
And some guys would roll it, and other guys would hit it like it owed them money.
Yeah.
That was a great track. And then they go to St. Louis, right? And Tomac, Dungey won his heat race.
Without too much trouble at
all. Well, he had that little nicking with Chad Reed.
Yeah, well,
they got together a little bit, and in my opinion, racing's racing.
Yeah, but still, even with that, he really, other than that one and a half laps,
right?
It was no contest.
No. Tomac made it through, right? Everything seemed right in the world, and we get to the finals, right? Juliana, whatever her name, comes out with the 32nd board. You know, we're all whoo. They launch. And what does Dungey do? He finally gets a good start.
Yeah.
It's been 6 or 7 weeks.
Thought he was going to get the whole shot, but he got beat out by a tire length.
And he had a good start again. And we were like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's out there leading.
Yeah. And
he's looking good leading. And I'm going, whoo, there's a fire
he's
in
back.
His belly. And then Tomac runs him down.
Yep.
And I'm going, ho, ho, ho.
And I got to admit, when Tomac went by him...
You were thinking the party's over.
No,
TPO.
No, oh. Ryan for a half a lap was... Well,
was
maybe right? A lap and a half.
Yeah, it was a little longer
than really
that.
Pushing him.
Yeah.
And then...
Started dropping back.
Yeah.
Went to 3 seconds back.
Yeah, and
in Supercross, 3 seconds is
quite
like
a bit.
2 years.
So I got the feeling that he was just... Back to that comment again. I don't think he was really concerned.
Yeah.
And then...
Then he started working his way back. And all of a sudden, that 3 seconds was 2.4 seconds, 2.2 seconds, 1.9 seconds.
Something switched.
Dungy realized the season is getting away from me. I'm not going to get my fourth championship. I am to beat. He Ric Flair'd it. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And today, woo! I'm the man. Woo! Right? I mean, he started going.
And if you don't know what the woo is, you need to look it up.
If you don't know what the woo is, probably turn the radio show off, right? I mean, just punch out. But Dungy started gaining, and I'm fist pumping. I'm like standing up cheering.
I wanted to see them duke it out. I thought he was definitely going to catch Tommy. He might not have been able to pass him, but he was going to catch
him. He was going to catch him, and they were to fight.
Yes, right? It would have been a dogfight to the last turn.
It was like 7 minutes to go or 8 minutes to go.
It was going
to
be a dogfight to the last turn.
Right, it was going to be a dogfight. And they came up on some lappers, and Tomac's going through the lappers, and Dungy's going through the lappers, and Tomac goes by this bum who gets way out of his way.
He floated over, gave Tomac plenty of room.
And then Dungy got up on him, and that bum raced him for what, 2.5-3 laps?
Yeah.
7 seconds worth of
slowing him down
intentionally. That bum's name's Chad Reed. I know Ken's a big Chad Reed fan. I've never been a big Chad Reed fan.
I don't know how you could
be
a Chad Reed fan after this.
He's always been a bit of a douchebag, right? This is not nothing new for Chad Reed, right? Except for, I think it's finally shown even his most loyal fans.
And Chad Reed was in 16th place when this happened.
A lap down, right?
A lap down and in 16th place.
Right, out of 22 guys, right?
So yes.
You're a two-time champ. There's a thing called class, respect.
He didn't show any.
Nobody fought you like that when you were fighting for championships. People didn't do that to you. Dungy has never done that to you, right? He raced you hard in the heat race. That's what you do. It's called Supercross. If you're going to put a hair up your bum about it, you know, maybe retire, old man. Punch out. Be done. Go to be a team owner. Yeah, get off the bike.
I think the only reason
he's
running,
rocking chair.
The only reason he's racing is because he wants to set that record of most races or whatever it is.
Right, most finals or whatever, yeah. Right? But I just feel like even the announcers was going, he got to get out of the way. What is he doing? And it was. I saw some people say, well, you know, if you're battling for the lead, if you're battling for a points championship, you should be able to get by the 16th pace guy.
When the guy's intentionally getting in front of
right.
you.
Right. When that guy is intentionally blocking you,
taking
the best lines, brake checking you. So that, right, knowing that you're setting up for that. I mean, there was a couple times where Dungy set up to go by him, and he intentionally went over into him to brake check him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was obvious intention. I mean, and then we saw officials putting their leg on the track with the blue flag. I've never seen them actually.
That was in the second lap.
Yeah, in the second lap of this, right, a guy stepped out to make sure.
Onto the course. Make sure he saw the blue flag.
The next guy should have hit him with the stick. Right?
I mean, threw the flag at him.
Right? Just hit him with the flag to get him off.
Maybe they need to have blue paint guns.
Maybe they should have tackled him.
Well, this also goes back to the comment I made when we were live tweeting one of the races, where I said maybe we should in the finals, if you're a lapper and you get lapped, you got to leave the track.
Yeah, you know, I've never been a fan of that, but because I believe lap traffic plays a part of the race.
It does, right? But it shouldn't play like this,
right? If Chad Reed had any class, and anybody who wants to chat,
when Tomac passed Chad would immediately went off the course, and his finish place would have been 16th. Wherever you got passed was where you finished.
You know, I believe working around traffic is part of racing, right? I've always believed that.
Well, you're still
that.
Racing everybody else.
And everything else. But working around traffic is part of racing, right? I don't really have a problem with those guys being there. But if it's a courtesy thing, and a 16th place bum shouldn't be deciding the championship. And that's pretty much what happened.
And I don't think his penalty was that.
It was severe enough.
No.
I want to talk a little bit about the penalty, right? This is the first time that I know of, that I can ever remember. I've seen guys get penalties. The penalty they gave him was ignoring a Supercross official. Ignoring the flagging, right?
Yeah.
They didn't say, you're a scumbag and you didn't get out of the way. I would have said that. Supercross obviously has more class than me and Chad Reed, right? Because he has none and I have a little. But they gave them to him and they took $5,000 from him and 5 points, which I don't think was enough on the points.
No. I think they should have given me a point for every blue flag he went by.
Oh, I like that, right?
Which would have been somewhere around 20.
But I've never seen them take that kind of penalty, right? I've seen them do stuff like that for ignoring the yellow, ignoring the black flag.
Or the cross flag.
Right, or the cross flag, right? You know, where you've screwed up and stuff like that, or you went by and you raced hard knowing it was there, mm-hmm. right? And I've seen that.
Because Dungey got points taken when last season when he didn't see the medical flag.
Well, he got positions taken, which is points. It's the equivalent of points.
But a couple guys got that.
Yes, but I've never seen him do it for a blue flag incident.
Well, in the 3 years I've been watching this series, I've never seen anybody ignore the blue flag.
No, the only
I've never seen anybody race multiple laps to stay in front of a leader.
Yeah, well, not in Supercross. You don't see that a lot, right? I believe.
Well, that's what we're talking about, Supercross.
Right. I believe in racing in general, right? Fight to stay on the lead lap, right? In long races, NASCAR races, Indy 500, that fight to stay on the lead lap.
Yeah, that's a big deal. But if you're not on the lead lap.
But in a sprint race, if you're that far back, you're not making that up.
No, not you.
You're not.
He had to be 45 seconds or maybe even a minute behind.
He was every bit of a minute behind, right? Because what were they cranking, 59-second laps?
Yeah.
So he was about a minute and a half
maybe
behind.
Maybe more. I mean, right. 16th is way down there.
Right. He was lapped. So he was at least the distance of a lap behind.
Yeah.
Right? And what he did was an embarrassment to himself. If you're a Chad Reed fan, you want to tweet him, you want to send him a link to this, if he wants to be a man and come on and talk to me about it, I'll explain to him that what he did was just embarrassing.
He knows it was because what he do the second the race was he crossed the line was over
and he pussied out. He didn't even want to. He didn't even want to go.
He didn't go into the main exit. He went onto the side.
Right. He pussied out. Right. And I would if Monster Energy Supercross has been very good about handing out penalties for guys for fighting and hitting each other and stuff like that. And I am all for that.
Yeah.
Right.
But I can never see Dungey jumping off
but I could see Dungey yelling at him, right? And I thought Dungey handled it with way more class than I would have when they asked him what he wanted to say, and he just said, "I don't even want to talk about that. Let's talk about the race."
Yeah.
Right.
Although he did come back around to it, he shouldn't have done that.
But no, I was okay with that because he wasn't really. You know, he said, "I don't know what was going through his mind," and you know what? I don't know if anybody knows what was going through his mind. Right, I'm thinking
because that comment he made between after the heat race that was kind of innocuous. It really wasn't much. We got to it, and blah blah blah, and that was really. I didn't think when I heard it, I would never have thought I need to screw him over the next time I get a chance.
Yeah, when I watched the heat race, I thought, "Whoo, that's good racing."
Yeah, but would you have thought if somebody made that comment about you? Would you have thought about screwing him up?
Well, I'm nasty and spiteful, so probably, right? you're probably asking the wrong person.
Probably. Ken, was that something you would have taken as a reason to get in front of somebody and screw up their races?
Of course not. I wouldn't fight anybody. I was embarrassed. I don't want to say I was embarrassed for Chad Reed because that means I respect Chad Reed.
Oh, my wife was hot because she's a Dungey fan. And she saw, first thing she goes, is he, because she saw the blue flags fly. She asked me, is the blue flag still mean to get out of the way? I said, yes.
Right.
Why is he not doing it?
I
don't know.
I feel like we should all tweet Chad Reed and tell him the blue flag means there's a good race going on and you're not part of it. Right? That's what it means. There's no better explanation for that flag than that. And you know what? I might have wanted to sit him. I don't know. I just feel like you're right. It wasn't enough of a penalty. I hope he learned his lesson. I hope he has a good race going on somewhere and some back marker sticks him. right?
There was a couple close. Barsha. Yeah. About T-boned a couple guys.
Barsha's a madman, right? I think one of them
was Muskin too.
And yeah, who had
talking about him. He had a great weekend.
We haven't really mentioned Muskin and Barsha. Like I felt like tweeting out like, oh my god, who's this guy Barsha racing? I've never seen him before. And I was like, wait, I remember that guy. But again, Barsha did his hot on fire, and then, oh, by the way, I'm out of shape and full at the end. Malcolm Stewart had a good finish. He had a, what, sixth?
Yeah, it's his best 450 finish.
Best 450 finish, and we
and he looked good doing
it. And Chad Reed ruined us talking about that.
Yeah.
Chad Reed ruined us talking about Muskins.
Not only did he block out Dungey, he also blocked out
all these other guys.
He jumped. He blocked out Barsha, and he blocked out Stewart.
Yeah, he's ruined racing this week. He is just completely ruined Supercross.
So you want to hit the... Well, I hear the music coming up. Do you want to hit the injury list before
or after?
Give
me the injury list. No, keep it going.
All right. So Mike Alessi broke his collarbone right before St. Louis, and he's out till Supercross.
Just give us when they're done. We don't care what the injury is.
Trey Kennard out till Supercross.
Motocross.
Weston Pike out till Motocross. Ken Roczen, who knows? Possibly forever. Basilia, he no timetable for his return. He broke his leg.
Anybody else we've heard of?
Hampshire expected to return before the. No, I'm reading the wrong line there. My eyes are crossed.
He's
out till motocross.
How about Alex Martin?
Indetermined at the moment how long he's going to be out because he landed on his back.
All right,
hard.
10 seconds. Anybody else in there that
and,
we've heard of?
And Colt Nichols out. Phil Nicoletti out to motocross. And that's it.
That would be good entrance music for Dungey for the MMA fight between Dungey and Old Man Chad Reed.
You know, the when you have music,
right? When you have gray hair, you should retire from motorcycle racing. I think that should just be the rule.
Well, there'd be several of them out by now.
Yeah, I definitely would have been retired.
Or they'd be starting to use Grecian formerly at 44.
Yeah, something. But
does that qualify me as old that I can say that?
I think so.
What's the new one that's out there for men?
I don't know. They got a bunch of them. I still
because you need some for your beard.
Yeah, somebody was like, you should put like lime juice and lard or something on my beard. They're like, it brings the color back. I'm like, yeah, I'm not smelling that all. Right? I'd rather be gray. It looks distinguished.
Can you smell what the fuel is cooking?
Yeah, something like that. So we had while we were
on the sick break.
On the sick break, we missed our opportunity about talking about the opening round of MotoGP. Or MotoGP, as most of the world calls it.
And it was an interesting race.
Well, here's the most interesting thing, is they had rainstorms and rained out qualifying in the desert of Qatar.
One of the first times that weather really impacted that race course, from what I understand.
I've never even heard of it raining over there for, you know, anything more than a passing shower. Right? I mean,
it's a desert.
And it was downpours.
Huh.
Right, they were
out there scraping the track with squeegees, and
they were lying camels on their side, dragging them around. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Oh, there goes our last listener from Qatar.
Yeah, we'll get over it. So that was weird because now it just screwed up all. So they went with practice. I believe it was second practice. I don't even think it was.
They did away
final
with the
practice,
second one. Yeah.
Right. So it was just practice times, which put Maverick Vinales on the pole.
Before we talk anything more about Vinales.
Oh, we should talk Moto2.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that, but before you say anything more about Vinales, and we'll get back to it after Moto2, I have something to say about him.
Okay.
And you're going to have to understand what I'm saying.
Smell what you're cooking? All right. So, we should talk some Moto2. So, Morbidelli ended up on the pole.
Yes. And he looked good.
I mean, he was sexy. No, he was fast. He was fast in practice.
Yes.
He was fast on the motorboat that he drove around the track. I don't know. He was fast on a lot of things. He looked during the race. He looked dominant.
Well, they kept saying that he's dominant. He's dominant. But God, who finished second?
Ludi finished second.
Ludi led several laps. He passed him, led several laps, and he Morbidelli never pulled away from him.
Ludi did what Ludi does, right? Ludi's like the ugly chick at the bar that never gets the date, but tries to screw things up for the hot chick that guy's ex out, right? He's always the bridesmaid, never the bride, right? I mean, that's
especially when I pick him in the pool,
right? Well, you know, he's a solid points pick. He's a podium guy, especially against the talent in Moto 2 this year. I would say he's a solid points pick. He's gonna have a couple wins in him. He's definitely going to be a lot of podiums. He's going to crank out the podium.
But my point was that as much as the announcers and you just said that Morbidelli was dominant, he raced really well, but he didn't pull away and pull a Rea and win by 30 seconds.
He did win by over 2.5.
That's a bunch, but not a bunch. I don't call that a dominant win.
I think in Moto 2, I wouldn't call that a dominant win in Moto GP.
No.
But in Moto 2, where the bikes are a lot more similar, I would say that to me.
I'd say in Moto 3, that would be a dominant win.
Oh, in Moto 3, that would be like, whoo-wee. You know, we are talking Moto GP, and we didn't even talk about Joan Mir getting its first win. McPhee and Fanati looking not so great, and some of the other guys who I expected more out of just didn't look. Bastianini looked horrible in Moto 3.
That's why a lot of those guys didn't move up in the Moto 2 this year.
Apparently, right? Apparently, when somebody comes in and can just like drop a can of whoop ass on you, you're probably in the wrong spot. And that's the problem with Ludi. Ludi's never been able to manage his tires all the way through the race. Well, he does, but he doesn't do it consistently.
Well, he did this time.
But he didn't, because he was racing up there with Morbidelli, and he chewed up his tires enough that he couldn't hang with them again.
Well, they had the same tires, though.
Right, but that doesn't mean I'm not managing, right?
You got a point there,
right?
Yeah.
It's me. I was kind of impressed. If you had asked me before the weekend if I thought Nakagami was going to be on the podium, I would have laughed. I would have thought Baldessari, Quartararo, I guess it is.
I don't know if you could, you know, if you think back to how he finished up the last three or four races last year, he was doing really well.
He was, but he's Nakagami, right? I guess he starts every year pretty hot.
I would not be surprised if he won a race this year.
I would. Well, I'd be surprised if it counted, right? You know, he does have a tendency to get caught.
Oh, you're holding the guys past against him.
I am. And I expected more. You know, I thought Alex Marquez did better than I thought he was going to do. I don't have a lot of, I know who his brother is, but I don't have a lot of faith in Alex Marquez. Axel Pons didn't do so hot,
which was surprising.
Javier Simeon didn't do great at all. Here's my biggest disappointment, I think, was Brad Binder. I was expecting Brad Binder to be top five. Richard Cardus obviously should call his brother, find out how to race.
I thought Pons was, based on last season, was going to do better than he did in his first race.
So did I, and I thought Baldessari was going to do better.
Yeah. But it is the first race of the season. They still got to tighten up everything.
It was a lot of weird because without the track time, you didn't have a lot of adjustments, which is something that played into the GP race, in my opinion.
Especially the premier race.
Right, that's the big boys, right? That played into that. So Danny Kent, like I said, him and Binder didn't do too great, but they didn't have a lot of time to set the bike up. There wasn't a lot of track time.
But no one had it.
No one had it. But there are teams with more. Mark VDS probably has more history to go on than Kiefer Racing. And Red Bull KTM is kind of a newer team, too.
Was Grandma Racing on there this week?
No, that was in Fletcher. But Moto3 is not too far from that. Moto2 is not too far from that. So, yeah, Morbidelli won, which I don't think was a shock to anybody. I think pretty much all of us thought he was he's one of the heads-on favorites to win the championship, right?
Yes.
I think this was bad for Ludi. I think that was the perfect time to put a ding into Morbidelli's confidence.
I think it would have, but it, you know.
But you have
Morbidelli outraced him, but yeah. I don't think it was, again, I'm going to say it one more time. I don't think it was as dominant as everyone claimed.
Yeah, I can see your argument on that. And then let's talk to big boys. Let's get serious here, right? We talked a little Moto 3.
Oh, my God, Zarco. What the hell?
This is a guy who we were pooping on last year, even though he was winning championships, right?
He was kicking ass last year, and I wasn't pooping on him.
I was because he's French, right?
Yeah, and well, okay.
We all know my feeling, right?
Yeah, excluding that he was French, he did well.
And he got on that Tectoire Yamaha, and he was like...
Tectoire?
That's actually what they call it, right? That's why I got into the whole French thing, right? Tectoire Yamaha. Tech 3 Yamaha, as we say here in America, but the rest of the world says Tectoire. And he got out there, and he opened a can.
Of whoop ass.
He was gone. He, you know, when I used to drive for a living, I used to hear, we used to have the old phrase, you know, kick the fire and throw the cat out the window. Right? Or kick the cat and throw the fire out the window, right?
If you wanted to go fast, I have never heard that term.
Right?
So.
You know, or throw the hammer out the window, throw the whole toolbox, right? I mean, he just, it was like, I'm going to go out and win my first MotoGP race.
And I think he would have.
And he was gone. And it wasn't like he was gone where he was out front and he was beating people. He was gone like, I'm going to take a break.
I'm going to pull over and smoke a cigarette and right. Get back on the bike.
Get back on a bike. Hit on some dude's wife and then get back on my bike and race. All right? He had time to surrender from the First World War and be part of the second one. Right? I mean, that's how much time he had.
And not only the time, but he looked good doing it.
And he was gone. He was hitting his lines.
Talk about dominant.
He was dominant.
Up to a point.
Well, you know, they say you're always fastest before you crash.
And...
He was fast.
I was watching, and I have yet to understand what caused him to crash. They said he got outside the line. When you go back and look at it in slow-mo,
he wasn't outside
the line.
It looked like he just tucked the front a little.
I couldn't even see that.
When he went over, he tucked the front a little, and I think he was on the gas too fast.
That might, but the rear end never went anywhere.
Right, but
because
I think,
when you see it on the BN Sports Ultra Slow Mo, and they got a great Ultra Slow Mo. Oh, it was awesome slow mo. I didn't see anything.
I think,
it was like a giant, you know, an invisible bird came in and whacked him or something.
I think when I looked at it in slow mo, and I obviously wasn't on the BN Slow Mo. When I watched it on the slow mo, I felt like his front was still compressed in and turning. When he hit the gas.
Well, that typically would throw the rear end out a little bit.
But this time, I think he had just enough traction to tuck the front and slide it.
Yeah, maybe. But
right? I mean, it doesn't make sense because when you hit that accelerator, it should pop the front up and uncork the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't. It just, to me, it seemed like it didn't. It looked like to me that he just, the front was gripped a little too much. It didn't slide enough, right? I think in MotoGP, you need to slide the bike, and he went in there and it didn't slide.
Either that or
there's the other thing. His head was so far up his ass, he couldn't see his way out of the turn. Right? We've all done that. I used the pistol shoot, and I was off to a great start one time.
Get in your own head.
And my head went so far up my ass, I couldn't see the front sight, and I proceeded to screw it up and shoot my normal. Right? Because that happens. That happens in every sport, everybody who's competing, and I think that's a possibility. But I just feel like, I felt like the bike might have just had a little too much grip at the wrong time, or he had a little bit too much grip at the wrong time.
Yeah, well, whatever it was, he went down.
Yeah.
And that opened the door for...
Dovi.
Yeah?
Dovi. All of a sudden, Dovi's leading the race. Andrea Dovi's on a Ducati.
On a Ducati.
Right? I mean the crow in my... I had deep fried crow. I had oven roasted crow. I mean, I even ate the feathers.
Crow scampi,
right? Crow confit, right? I mean, it was just going. And Dovey,
croquette.
Yeah, and Dovey ended up there with Marquez following him. And the Yamahas were back, but they were coming.
Yeah, and this goes back to the tire choices.
Yeah, right. And that goes back to the tire choices, and they were coming. And Vinales and Rossi were coming. They were cranking out fast laps.
Now, you said the key word there, Vinales.
Yeah.
Now, some people picked him in the pool.
Uh-huh. And
congratulations.
I didn't.
No, neither did I. But I think that every one of you who picked Vinales, every one of you who thought Vinales was going to do well this year, need to send a tweet or a Facebook message to a particular person, Paris Hilton, and thank her
for giving him the booty,
for being the Patreon
that kept him racing.
That kept him racing, because he would not be here if it was not for Paris Hilton.
Who would thought we would be thanking Paris Hilton for anything in life? Right? I feel bad for Paris, because she could be dating a MotoGP. She could be married to a MotoGP winner, right?
I mean, yeah. I don't know if she still has anything to do with his racing. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But she was definitely the only reason he was racing.
He made it through Moto3.
If it wasn't for her, he would not be where he is.
I absolutely agree. Now,
so I want to see all you people out there who are backing Vinales to send her a thank you note.
Yes, and everybody that also that sends Paris a thank you note should send Valentino Rossi a thank you note for two reasons. One, he was very instrumental in getting Vinales over to Yamaha. And two, because he doesn't practice well and he doesn't qualify well, he started out 10th. And was already eating tires by the time it was time to boogie with Vinales and Dovey and Marquez and all these guys.
Yeah.
Right? He was out of tires. By the time he got up to third, right, he did do a little fighting back and forth with Dovey for a little bit. But by the time he got up there, he was
well,
done.
Dovey's and Marquez's tires, they went both with the softs.
Yeah.
And that was the wrong choice.
Yeah. And I mean, I know why they did it, right? Not a lot of rubber on the track.
It made a lot of sense.
You know, a little breezy, cool for what they were used to there. But yeah.
It just didn't work out.
And Vinales, because he didn't have to battle as many guys, and he was on, right? Now, Zarco stays up. I don't think Vinales catches him.
No. I don't think anyone. I think that was
upset of the century coming there.
He was going to lead from lap one.
Yeah. That was the upset of the century coming.
Unless I don't remember what tire combination he had.
He was on soft, I think.
Well, he might not have lasted, but he would be. He was far enough out
that I think he would, right? Because once you get to a certain point out,
it's hard to catch him.
You can manage, right? And it's hard to catch him. You're hitting your lines. Marquez, after the race, complained about the bike some. He said, "I don't have my dream bike."
Well, he did, but he also said, "If I had went with a hard front, I would have won the race."
Yeah, that's what he said right after the race. But what he said yesterday, Monday, was,
"I
don't have
this.
My dream bike." Right?
Well, that's kind of like last year, and they switched to, was it last year? Or year
2 years ago.
Switched the frame out.
Yeah, he switched back to the old frame. So again, I don't know. Honda did a lot of testing. Pedrosa didn't look that great either.
Yeah, I don't know what.
I mean, you got a fifth, and it's hard to say you didn't look great, and you got a fifth in MotoGP, right?
Yeah.
But
considering who was in front of him and who wrecked that was in front
also,
of him.
Right.
So it wasn't
and
bad.
And how far back he was, right?
Lorenzo did not look good at all.
Lorenzo looked like I thought, right? I think the funniest meme I saw, well, two of the funniest memes I saw, one was Lorenzo. And it was that moment you realized the guy who was riding your bike from last year just won, and you finished seventh. And then the other one was fake Donald Trump booth. I'm glad to see Maverick Vinales win. He's a real champion, not like that quitter Jorge Lorenzo.
And he didn't look good at finishing seventh either.
No, he did not look right. He looked uncomfortable on the bike. He was 4 or 5 minutes back. or 20 seconds, right? Whatever.
Yeah, well, he also complained that, you know, well, not complained, I guess is not the right word. He also complained that the bike setup was still not right for him.
Yeah, and it will never be.
And we've always said, well, I haven't said, but you guys have always said that you have to change your riding style to fit the Ducati.
Right, you can't expect Ducati to change to you. I was actually surprised at how fast Iannone looked on the Suzuki, but he Iannone'd. I'm not even going to call it crashing anymore.
Well,
he crazy Joe'd.
No, you can say he crashed. He crazy Joe'd or Iannone'd when he hit somebody else, and he didn't do that this time.
Yeah, he crazy Joe'd it. He just threw it away.
Yeah, my wife was watching this a little bit of the race with me because she's not much into the MotoGP, and she saw him wreck. She said, well, that didn't look very good. And I said, no, but at least he didn't take somebody with him. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, last year he had a reputation, and he even had a meme up there with people with their X's across their face indicating how many bikers he took, racers he took out.
Yeah, he had flags like a World War II fighter plane. But I was glad to see MotoGP back, and while these were not the results I was expecting.
Well, some of the guys in the pools expected this result.
But they were, right? I expected Marquez in second or first and not Dovi, right? I expected Rossi to be on the podium because he always does well at Qatar.
Marquez finished on the podium.
No, he finished fourth.
Dovi,
and Rossi.
That's right.
So I feel like I don't know if I expected Maverick Vinales to win his first race on a Yamaha, although he's looked fast all year, but I never give credit to testing.
You guess you have to this with him.
Apparently, I was wrong. We all should tweet a thank you to. No,
did anyone pick Zarco?
No one had Zarco. And that would
it's
have
a
been
good thing they did, but if they
if
had.
If somebody had Zarco, I would have thrown him out of the pool because that means they have some kind of cheating influence. But that was just in general. I felt like it was a good kickoff weekend.
I got one last thing to say about Zarco. And if you on Facebook or Twitter, there's this meme, it's a video GIF that's going around. It shows Chuck Norris with a sniper rifle, and he shoots it, and people fall over.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened to Zarco. He got Chuck Norris from the far.
Something happened to him. It might have been his head go up his butt. Right? He might have been like, oh, my God, I'm winning. I'm French. I can't do this. Anyways, we'll be back. We're going to talk. Oh, this weekend we got MotoGP in Argentina, so they're back. They're racing. So we got some picks to do in the pool. I'll have the results up later on tonight. But, yes, they will be in Argentina, so it'll be good to see them again so soon. And let us know if Vinales for real. Is Zarco for real? Is Marquez really having problems
with
the bike?
Is anyone going to pick Zarco this coming weekend?
Is there a tow truck to drive Lorenzo around so he can finish better than 7th? Before we get into World Superbike, we're actually into Doghouse Overtime. Now, we used to have a show that used to do that on the network. They'd be like, we're into overtime. And it'd be like, you only paid for the studio for so long. Shut up and get out. but because we weren't here last week, we're giving you a little
extra got a lot, and you notice it's all racing because that's all we did. That's a lot of racing we missed.
We missed a lot of racing, and we felt there were things we needed to talk about. So we're going to talk about these things because
we could still talk about Zarco some more.
We could always talk about Zarco some more. Warren wanted to talk about Aprilia. I'm like, we've had enough. We'll save it for next week. Because next week, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have like nothing to talk about. It's going to be like boring racing. We're going to be like, well, I don't have nothing to talk about. But
it's not like that hadn't happened before.
Yeah, that's actually happened before. But World Superbike was in Aragon for round 3 of the Pirelli. Oh, no, it's not Pirelli. Who sponsors World Superbike? Motul World Championship. And I want to talk World Supersport, right? I'm PJ Jacobson fan. He's American.
America,
right? New Yorker, too, right? Knows what a good bagel is.
We won't hold
that
against him.
Knows what good pizza is. Knows what a hard roll is.
We're not going to hold it against him.
Right? We should hold it against him. But PJ Jacobson on the pole, right? Fast again. Second or third pole?
Second.
Second, right? He didn't have the pole the first race. But second pole of the season, and he looked fast. He looked fast in practice. He looked faster on pole. He looked fast. And I'm like, he looks fast, America.
It could be his race.
It could be.
But,
of course.
Sofoglu's back.
Sofoglu is back.
And we know what he's been doing in the past.
And you can, a little bit of a wrist injury, but he didn't look strong going into practice. There are some other guys. Guys we've never mentioned, right? Mahias and Marias.
Right? No.
Yeah, exactly. Who are these guys? What? Never heard of them. The world supersport has been weird. We've had this guy Roberto Rolfo on an MV Agusta, which is PJ's teammate, won the first race, and he came in fourth or fifth on the second race, something like that. Right. So he's been leading the points and stuff, and there's been a bunch of guys up front that we don't know. Nikki Tooley, Kyle Ride, right? I mean,
names you just said.
Federico Caracasulo, right? I mean,
really, the only names you usually hear over the last couple of years is PJ, Sofoglu, and Clusell.
And Clusell and Ant West, maybe, right? Sometimes you heard Ant West.
Occasionally. Not very often.
These other guys are like, who, what, where, when, and how? I mean, I felt like Abbott and Costello.
Who's going first?
Yeah, exactly. So the race starts. The lights are out. They go. And PJ Jacobson had a horrible start. Mahias and Marias and some of these other guys just took off on him. I think he came out of the first turn seventh or eighth.
Which is not a good place to be.
No, not in
super sport.
Then the only thing good about it is Sofoglu was sitting there with him. And I said, okay.
Well, that's not necessarily something good.
I'm going to myself, okay, you can't drop points to Sofoglu. But right now, Sofoglu's out. I mean, he's 45 points. But, you know, I'm not counting him out.
No.
Not
based on past history.
At this time, I wasn't counting him out. Yeah. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah. And things changed as the race went on.
Yeah, and I'm going, oh, man, okay, you know, stay with him. Hey, the two of you guys should work your way to the front, teach these young studs, get out of the way. Women and children off the sidewalk, we're coming through. You know, I'm all about this. I love Aragon. I love that big-ass wall and the shots that come out of it. I love the elevation changes of the track. It's a great track. They go racing. They're out there. I don't know who half the people they're naming in the front. I have no idea who they are. I got the race up on my TV. I got a second browser open up so I can see what the names are and who the hell these guys are. That's how I was. And Jacobson and Sofoglu started doing okay. And then guys started crashing, right? And crashing's always good so long as your guy's not in it.
It's not your guy.
Right? You know, and I don't want to say it's good, but it happened. And guys started going down. Some of the guys, Thule, Gino Rea, I guess the first crash was actually Caracasulo. And when he went, he lost it. And to his outside was this guy, Keenan Sofoglu. And he took the bike right under him.
Yes, he did.
It looked like a cartoon kind of thing where his feet went up. I mean, it just boomed. And they were gone. They're both out. I mean, it tumbled them, and Sofoglu didn't look good. He was holding his wrist, holding his arm, and he was kind of limping, and he's had that wrist injury.
Yeah. And well, some of the people had speculated that the wrist wasn't completely healed as it was.
Right. So I'm thinking it probably wasn't all that healed, and I'm thinking that was probably not the accident he needed to be in. Then other guys started dropping out who we kind of expected to be around. Gino Rea, this Nikki Tooley guy. Nikki Tooley, I'm not even really sure how you say it. There were guys that were just falling out that were ahead of PJ. And PJ ended up on the podium, first podium of the year, but kind of from attrition.
Hey, you take it.
You got to finish races.
Yeah.
Right? Him not. And he would probably be somewhere as close to the points lead had he scored any points and not blown up last round, right? So hopefully he can start putting things together. Everybody's talking about him, which sometimes that's the commentator's curse, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
In the previous race, they even made some comment like that, you know, that,
yeah.
We started talking about PJ, and now he's out.
Right, and now we screwed him up. So hopefully this is the beginning of things are going to start working for him. The biggest problem, it pretty much was a photo finish, right? I mean, Marais and Mahias there were, a hundredth of a second apart or something like that. It was really close. But PJ's bike didn't have the grunt on the straightaways. The two Yamahas walked them every time they got to the straightaways, right? He was there in the turns. He was there in the short shoots.
I guess he was hoping that the, drafting and slingshotting was going to help him out.
Yeah, but they even, on the penultimate lap, they even pulled away from him in the draft, while he was in the draft, right? So the MV Agusta's missing a little bit.
You just like saying penultimate.
I do. The MV Agusta, wait till we talk about World Superbike, right? Wait till we talk about Race 1. Penultimate's going to be like my favorite word. It's going to be a drinking game. They just pulled the MV Agusta just doesn't have the top end. It needs a little more. It needs a little more horsepower. It needs a little kick in the ass, something.
Don't think they're going to get it this year.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. So he's going to have to really work on building. Now, one of the things he said before the race is that he's working on sliding the bike less, right? Last year and the last 2 years, you notice when you watch PJ Jacobsen, he was sliding it around the track kind of like a flat track bike, right? And he's been working on that. So I guess the MV Agusta isn't set up for that kind of slide. It doesn't have that kind of play in it. But he seems to be faster, right? He's got the poles.
That plus, I think, on tracks where you're going to have a shorter straights, he'll have a better chance then, too.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. So we'll see. We'll see how their next round goes and stuff like that. But I don't... Which is the end of the month, right? I don't think they race again till the end of the month.
I think you're right, but I don't remember
like the
where.
28th. Is it Assen? Is it? It's Dutch, right? It's the Dutch Grand Prix. I think it's the next one.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it's the Dutch Grand Prix.
Ask the intern.
I didn't. Yeah. Oh, Ken. Ken. What? Oh. Thank you, Ken. Yep. Exactly what Ken said. I agree with that. Then we get to World Superbike. We finally, in race one, get the battle we've been looking for. Reyes and Davies had a ding-dong battle. And I kind of like saying the ding-dong battle, too, right? But they were trading it back and forth. I mean,
Reyes has been the only guy so far.
Yeah, he's been the only winner. And Davies was finally up there with him. It was like... This track was working for Davies. Things was going good for Davies. Yeah,
the only other race he was that close was his very first race where he just finished a couple hundredths of a second.
Yeah, and these guys, I mean, they had one lap where I think I counted five passes between them, right? Towards the end of the race, right? I mean, they were trading the lead,
Surprising they even had tires left by the time they got done.
And they were racing them, right? I'm going, oh my God, these guys are not going to have tires left, right? But then Davies came up with this new way to save tires, right? On the penultimate turn of the penultimate lap.
Drink.
That's like a double word score in Scrabble right there, right? He dumped it.
Yes.
He finally got out. He finally got a little bit of light between him and Rhea, and he dumped it. He Zarco'd.
Yeah.
I have no reason why he dumped it.
Why do you say Zarco'd?
Zarco dumped it too. Right, that's why I say Zarco.
That was just his first race, though. Give him a break.
Yeah, and Davies was like, oh, wow, I watched Zarco do that last week. That looked cool.
Let me see if I can do it.
And Rhea goes past him, and Rhea just is like, all right, I can back it down. And won with ease, one race won. The bigger thing is that Davies didn't score any points. So going into race two, he was 55 points back.
Yeah. And that did not help him.
And to add insult to injury with this new penguin abortion of a reset.
Oh, I still don't like this.
I still don't even understand.
Although it's not making any difference.
It makes no difference. And I don't understand. It is not what they announced it was going to be. Right? They announced one was going to be eight. Now it's four becomes one.
Right. That's what they announced.
Well, they had changed it a couple times. So it ended up that starting in seventh, was Jonathan Rea, and because he crashed, but he was the higher qualifying guy, Davies, right? And Lowe's somehow had the pole in both races.
Well, because Lowe's finished fourth in the first race.
Yeah, but he had the pole in the first race. I don't understand how he was fast and then finished seventh or fourth.
Finished fourth. Right?
But then Davies ended up starting 10th directly behind Rea for race two.
Yeah, and I you know, like we talked about before, this is just a form of participation trophy to give other guys a chance to win, and it's not working.
No, because race one was Rea, Melandri, Sykes, but it would have been Davies, one of the two positions up front,
yeah,
had he not dumped it. And race two ended up being Davies, Rea, Melandri, right? And again, they had another great battle. They were trading it. They were going back and forth. Melandri was in it for a little bit. Tom Sykes and Melandri battled a little bit. There was a lot of good racing through the field in race two. But the two guys that we all tune in to watch, Rea and Davies, were trading it. And the second race, it was about a half a second. Right, I mean, but they were going back and forth pretty much the whole race. Melandri was there. Sykes and Vandermeer, you know, Sykes and Melandri fought when Melandri went by. There was a lot of good racing further back in the field. It was just in general.
Well, I gotta admit, one of the guys I'm most disappointed with so far, and it's early in the season, it's very early, is Sykes. And he's had some decent finishes, but he's not really been competing for the top position at all.
No, he's only missed the podium twice, right?
But yeah, like I said, he's doing okay, but he's not looked competitive enough against Rea and Davies. Rea and Davies is really the class of they're pretty much by themselves.
Yeah, I agree with that. And when you look at all the people who've been on the podium, it's only been four guys. We've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 4, whatever. How many of that? What's 6 times 3? 18. We have 18 possible podiums and only four guys. Rea, Davies, Sykes, and Melandri. Right? I don't like that. That's not enough guys. Sykes got a little bit of breath breathed into his championship standing stuff because Davies with the
zero.
With the zippy there is now at 95 points. Sykes at 91. Melandri at 81, but Rea, because of that DNF and because he won the first
and finished second in the second race,
five races, and only has the 1 second, has a 50-point lead 3 rounds in already.
That's
huge.
Yeah.
Although, if Supercross teaches us anything, it don't mean nothing.
Right? Could Ken Roczen tomorrow?
He could Ken Roczen it tomorrow. Davies could Eli Tomac it tomorrow, right? Something could click and Davies could be like, shoo-wee, I'm going to go, and he could go. So I kind of feel like World Superbike, we saw...
It is very early.
It's very early, but we finally saw the battle we needed to see. We're finally starting to see the battle.
You saw it in the very first race and this race. And it's really been it.
Both these races, right? I mean...
Well, yeah.
Right? He threw it away, but they were still fighting at the time.
Yeah, well... The people who chose Davies in the pool, nah, 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 nah.
One person got the double.
It wasn't me.
But somebody did have Rea first race, Davies second.
I hate that person.
I think I'm going to fine him 100 points just for being right.
I think it's a good idea.
Right? So,
whoever it was, I hate you. And Phil's going to dock you points.
Andrew, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to dock you.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. So, we'll be back next week. We will actually be here next week. I'm not sorry we went over. We gave you an hour and a half.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Right? I hope you did.
If you didn't,
the people who have been bitching that we're not talking enough motorcycles, that was an hour and a half of catching you up on racing and our thoughts and opinions. And obviously, we're not right about anything, but we're never wrong.
Well, I would say we're never wrong and always right about nothing.
Yeah, that could be, too. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, Ken will be able to be in studio.
Well, he's here. Oh, yeah. In spirit.
In spirit. And in smell, right? His chair still smells like him.
I was wondering what that smell was.
Yeah, it's like a mixture of, like, dead feet and B.O.
Ken, bring the Lysol in next time.
We'll be back next week, folks.